ratify the meeting's minutes from the last meeting, which I didn't attend. So, all in favor of making last meeting's minutes part of our permanent record? All in favor? Everybody unanimous?
I'm abstaining because I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay.
I actually have to abstain because I didn't read them.
Okay. Thanks for your vote, Rosemary.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming today. So,
we don't really have a whole lot of ground to cover today, which is a good thing. But I guess the first order of business is the results from the election are in. We had 29 votes for Bang. We had 15 votes for the BQLT. And we had 6 abstentions. I have since talked with, hi, how are you? I've since talked with Joanne Morris via email, and we played phone tag a little bit. So the next order of business is that they are transferring the deed to BQLT, and then they will come back when they're finished.
No,
so they're transferring all of the BQLT issue first because they're in midstream with the deed conveyance, and when they are done with that, they will transfer the 4 gardens to the bank. So that's where we're at with that. I think at the end of the day, it's one to the other, and we're going to continue on as a garden, and we'll have somebody holding our deed, not unlike we are now.
I thought this was going to eradicate the
Japanese
knotweed problem.
This will not eradicate the Japanese knotweed problem, although that is... So any questions about what that happened, how that happened? Okay. Brian can do the treasury.
Hello.
Hello.
Notwithstanding a few membership fees that came in last week. Notwithstanding some dues that came in over the last week, about $100 worth, our balance is We're still collecting dues, even today I got one, so...
Sorry about that.
No.
if it's any defense in my part, I haven't slept through the night in a lot longer than the months that my kid is old, and I'm kind of tired.
Cool.
And it's not what it's been.
All is... all right, so that's a lot of cash. If anybody's interested in coming up with our own prospect-based community farm stimulus classes projects, bring a proposal for the next meeting and we'll get the money back out
High
speed
rail.
High speed rail.
We have to do this to get rid of these mulberry stalks that are growing everywhere because in the family.
Maybe we could arrange for the
mulberry stalks. I think that Tracy, we will go to her right now because she has big comments on the sandbags.
Yes.
Okay, first off, about the sandbags. The sandbags are going to be used where the original mulberry stump was ground, because all it is mulberry stump and there's no soil in there, and as you notice, it's already making a sinkhole and depression, and so some of the sand is supposed to be incorporated into there, in which if anybody's willing and able can do that today. and then the other thing is that we have a sinkhole area, and that's between right underneath the bed, but it also encompasses the bowel bed and the Ella's bed, and the bed behind what I believe is Jennifer Richmond's bed.
I think so.
So, it's a big, almost 12 by 12 area, and we don't know why it's sinking.
Sure.
It's It's not like down here where there's the building that was knocked down, so it's not a void. But, well, Kazoo is not a void, so it's not like it's any building that's back there. So it's any number of other things, like a sinkhole, water coming up from the ground like a spring, or hopefully not a septic tank. They were legal in before the city water system. There were small houses on these lots before it was all farmland, so it's not impossible that such a system isn't there. Yeah, so, you know, some things last a long time and fail way later than when people expected them to. You know, they have concrete layers. So, to that end, whatever that situation is, you can use a can in that situation, especially if it's a hole, like a sinkhole, I mean, like a
septic tank.
So, to that end, I did a bit of investigation with several people. I got some sandborne maps to see what was on the property, on these properties before, just so the apartment building site was here. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the backyard, which makes me think that it's not a little outbuilding back there. And then I asked somebody from ground penetrating radar systems what that can do. It's sort of like a sonogram for your baby. But for ground.
Your baby birth.
Okay. But
a lot of that goo. That's all
I know. It can see into the ground. And it can tell you whether or not it's tight, whether or not it's water, or whether or not it's a void. Which, that I asked the man, and for a half day rate, it's about $750 to $1,000. And he could scan the ground and find out on, and tell us on the spot what species underneath there. The other alternative is to get an auger, which a two-man holding auger, and that boring auger, and that's like drilling a well kind of thing, but it's with two people instead of like a heavy machinery and a big thing. And we can rent that from a rental place, a school rental place, for $70 a day. But then it will deliver $100 each way, so that's $270 for that. And it will go down about a yard and a half. Or we can rent from them an excavator, an owl excavator that can come through our pasture for $220 and $140 for the backhoe and $150 each way to deliver, which would be about $650, $700. Or we can go the more destructive route. I met somebody who had associated with being found in another garden, and they have a backhoe similar to what we see in the street. Smaller, not the big construction ones that are down in the next lot, but he said he needs 6 feet wide, and our paths are only 40 inches wide, so it's sort of difficult. You're going to run over stuff getting in the door, or, I don't think it's that heavy, but it's a thought too. So we have 2.5, 3 alternatives to figure out how we want to address this. We can, also we can go to probably the more, most riskiest way, and that is to dig it by hand. But if there's a hole, then if somebody falls in the hole, then, there's a whole nother story. The others are, standoffs. So we have a decision to make.
Or we could let it be and keep filling it in as it takes.
If we scanned it, did that kind of scan it, and then we found out that it was a septic tank or something, do we then pay to have the septic tank removed, or do we just...
No, you could fill it in. You have to remove the septic tank to, say, crack the top so that, push it into the hole. Put the can that we have in the hole and go on from there. Yeah, we could add on top of it, but if it is something structural like that, Rosemary, then it is a little dangerous for somebody to be gardening on that plot. You don't want to fall in. And if it's a sinkhole, like a natural sinkhole, that's even more dangerous. But if you put anything on top of it, it's going to accelerate the collapse.
Virginia? Catherine's been asked for 2 cents because she does do this professionally, so she might have a really good opinion.
She has seen the emails that have gone out and we talked about it. No, I haven't asked her. She hasn't contributed anything, though.
Well, it's after the master gardener, maybe we could ask her opinion.
Okay. That's a thought, too.
Do you know how deep things like septic tanks are usually? I mean, if we got an auger that went 3.5 feet, is there a good chance we hit something?
Yard. Wait, 8 yards and a half.
Anyway, is that, would we be likely to hit something, unlikely to hit it, you know?
Currently are not very particularly deep. Generally, they're 42 inches because of frost issues, which is the 3.5 feet. Hard telling what happened a long time ago. You know, these are just, I mean, trying to superimpose modern building standards on something that happened 100 years ago.
Is it likely to be something like an oil tank?
Probably not. That's pretty unlikely because generally in New York City, the oil tanks are not carried outside of the houses. They're all in the basement where they were. I doubt it.
Is there anything we could find out it is that we wish we hadn't known about?
There's always that possibility.
Well, I'm thinking things that mean that the land is poisoned, for instance, yeah, that we have to do remediation.
Right. There's always a possibility in this area. I doubt it.
Yeah, I just know what our legal responsibility is to anybody.
Well, none of that would be our legal responsibility. That would all be a land trust issue. It's highly doubtful that it's a toxic pitch in this area. You know, we had one in Williamsburg when we sold the property. It ended up being that years ago there had been a gas station there and there was some significant gasoline leakage.
I have some personal experience with that sort of story.
It was kind of cool. We had to dig a 90-foot deep hole, and at one point the bucket came around and hit a spark on a rock and all the ground caught on fire.
That's pretty cool.
It was horrific, but it was rad.
I got to see it though.
Not my best day at work. Trying to explain that one. I was not driving the bus. So I think that I think in all likelihood, probably just in my experience in excavation, in all likelihood, it is either a septic tank. I think there's a slim chance that it's that. I think that probably when they flattened this place out with the bulldozer, they may have created a pocket with two pieces of concrete slab, and it's just slowly going down under there. The chances that back there, there's some sort of natural limestone carp topography sinkhole going on are pretty slim.
Not a real good kind of soil
engineer. Nice. I think it's probably just some settling from when they build it, but who knows?
Is it possible?
We have Virginia, Tracy, and then Regina.
Couldn't we do a soil test in that just that area?
For?
To distinguish, to allay people's fears that there's poison in some kind of toxic area?
I think what Gene was alluding to is that if the buried member was a toxic bomb.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think we have any issues, seeing as we just got soil tested.
It's a very different situation, but I have some personal experience with a property that was held by people who didn't know it. Turned out to have a really toxic thing, which then there was state rules about how to remediate. It became this amazing money.
Right.
Huh.
Tracy. We do that.
Maybe septic tank, or it could have been the fish pen, way back from 1800s, whatever. Also noticing, if you notice, from the dogwood tree and even beyond, it always stays moist there, that area. And if you notice, it looks like it could have an underground water.
Like a little spring or something.
Yeah.
That would be actually wonderful.
Yeah, we need to get into that.
We're
going to
have
to do
the same sort of sloping
right.
down here goes into some of those backyards over
there. Right.
And the other closest thing to it was, what was that? The local waterworks that was there in the playground?
Mm.
Way back.
Yeah, we saw that on the Sanborn map, actually, too. The other thing is yes, we did ask Catherine earlier this year, late last year, and she didn't have any thoughts as to why it could be. So
I'm just suggesting we ask her again.
Yeah.
It's just important. None of us are aware of it, so let's make everybody aware of it.
I think probably...
We can talk about it since spring.
Anybody else?
Okay.
I think probably the best way to proceed would be for Tracy, for you to clearly enumerate these different options, pop them out onto the listserv. Lindsay?
So I work in affordable housing for the city, and this happens all the time. Like, our developers go through testing and pricing before we give them something to build. And there is a plan for the mayor's Office of Environmental Remediation for brownfield cleanup, so if you decide to go through with testing and you see that it's something really dirty, they offer a grant. I think it's up to $35,000 or something like that in order to remediate.
That's excellent. So there are some other monies available if we do have a doomsday scenario here in the back left corner of the garden.
I have one other unanswerable question.
Okay, awesome. Bring it on.
How likely is it that the ultrasound guy would not be able to say what it is? I ask because I was just reading this article in the paper about the Bronte Towers up in the Bronx that are falling out of the train tracks, and some of them, and it's a totally different situation, but some of them are still uninhabitable because they can't say for sure even using the ultrasound whether they go to bedrock or not.
Right.
Which is a different situation, but I just don't know how exact this
design is. I don't think anybody does. I think really, in my experience as a carpenter, I can tell you what I think's in that wall, and opening up the wall is...
Castle
Amontillado
Ridge.
Whole rise. Combination
too.
Love that
shit. They'd be able to say whether it was man-made or natural.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, they would see, like, a sharp outline or something.
Right. So I think probably the best way to proceed is to clearly enumerate all of these options on a email that we can put out and digest, and then at the next meeting vote on our course of action. Does that seem appropriate? Because I don't feel prepared right now to vote on a course of action.
Any of those things?
Absolutely possible.
A really large oak tree or something like that in that area.
And it's really tricky.
I took out a relatively small one in my mother's backyard years ago.
Right.
And I was over there this year. And I thought I was going to speak to the area. I stood in the area where the oak had come, yeah, like the oak tree it was, but it had come out. And I mean, it really, really stank.
Yeah.
And I was staring.
And that's possible, certainly given our short-term observation of the mulberry hole, that it is a...
Just keep in mind, folks, as I was saying, I don't know how many people really observe when you're going to the back of the front post house.
Yeah.
Observe the length of that shape.
Right.
Yeah, it's more prominent, but it's really large.
Right, it's a big...
Is there a Brooklyn equivalent of Beely's Mound? I mean, the show called
Beely's Mound?
I call it like that.
Would it be worth doing some exploratory digging? Or is this...
If you want to...
I think at this juncture, seeing as we're still in the kind of tail end of the gardening season, that we're not going to bounce Val and Ella out before the gardening season's over, so this is kind of a late fall winter project anyway. right? Because you're still gardening, and you don't want to just go rip your box out and take a hole and go, oh, gee, a couple months from now, maybe we'll do something.
Right.
So I think that...
There was a Rodelius, right?
That's true. That's true. But we could certainly start there, but I think doing... I think putting it out there so we can all kind of look at it, because, you know, it's a large expenditure, not that we don't have the cash, but, you know.
But we got a lot of ideas. People have
ideas.
So the more people that know, the more ideas, and maybe we're going to hit on the right one.
Is that something you'd be willing to do? You know?
I wrote it down.
Right. And also, like, you know, including the option of just throwing more stuff on it every couple of years.
And then, can we stay on that area for a second?
Sure.
What about, can we try to figure out how to get rid of the stumps or the logs?
We could.
As we're talking about spending money. The mulberry logs, that big pile of mulberry logs, that I think we're going to be donating to something, or...
No, we're supposed to be using them in the garden for edging.
It's all around.
The
pile of stumps. That whole pile can be
sick.
That's okay. I mean, is there a plan or is
there
going to be
point.
Sitting there?
No, hopefully not. I think at this point, things that we probably need to do with some sort of celerity would be to get the sands away from the dogwood.
So we can incorporate some of that into the whole
thing. And so we can get it off the roots of the dogwood.
Some
of that we can just tuck into the hole, rake it around, and then some of it we can probably just stack on top of what we've just tucked in the hole. The logs I think would be great to get out of here. I think if we kept two or three receipts, that would be more than enough. I know at one point we had looked at donating it to people for firewood, and I can pursue that a little more vigorously in the next week. I put it up on Craigslist and stuff like that, because that would be a...
Right.
We also look into trying to get rid of all the...
Yes. Yeah. That would be we could call a dumpster, or we could throw it in Trevor's truck and take it to my shop and throw it out in the dumpster there. It's like $42 for a special pickup. And unfortunately, that has to be because they only ship next. You can't put like regular garbage in a concrete block, but if you just like say, hey, on Tuesday, come pick up all the concrete blocks, and the special pickup's like $42. I can also talk to Trevor because I'm using his truck on Tuesday, so that's very much a possibility. Because cleaning that up in the front would be a...
And there's blocks back there, paving stones and stuff.
The paving stones, I think, would probably be dizzy. Yeah, because there's still the whole back of the garden, which nobody here from the planning committee is here, but there's still the whole...
Yeah. So there used to be like a lot of piles of...
Right.
Started projects.
Right.
So I think over the sand for the garden.
And I think over the course of the fall, I should be back. I have one last little stint to go to Chicago. Unfortunately, work has really pulled me out of my Brooklyn efforts this year. But I have one last little stint next week to Chicago. And then, according to the plan, I should be back for the fall. And we could attack the back of the garden with a little more vigor. So I think over the next couple months, and certainly now that we're kind of winding down on growing, we could attack the back of the garden with a little more vigor.
What are we doing with the wood that you have in this area here?
Well, I think right now we should probably get some signage and like some museum-like signage. Say, you know, for a decade we have stored this wood here.
Artist area.
this wood. We voted on it, like, oh yeah, we're going to build, like, a stage. This is like about, oh.
I was against it.
I think there's
but I think our tubing is still so it's supposed to be our streets or
we did that for a minute. We did the irrigation system for
a whole month.
Yeah.
Our neighbor Suzanne on Park and wanted to donate some sleep.
Right.
And we had
sleep is so nice.
We had originally
What about under your feet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an option. So
we never tried a garden back here.
Right.
Good idea.
Question of mine. You said it's a 3 foot high pile, but are the pieces like small, like
this true, different size.
Oh, like 4 foot or like big pot size?
How much area could it
John, behind you, Keo wants to talk.
Keo.
I'm again bringing the slate into the garden. I think that slate, I like slate, but to me, the less paved over areas is that okay, but if you're heat into the garden, because, you know, it's not, it absorbs heat and then it radiates it back out, and instead of having growing things, it's slate.
I'm in agreement with Kale. No one else.
Yeah, I don't remember voting on it or anything like that. You know what I do think, actually, a while ago, we had a plate, and we have the hardest time. It's hard to deal with it. It's not that easy to just put the plate into the ground and install it correctly. You really need, equipment.
We also seem to have a glut of material at this juncture.
Yeah. Should we vote on it?
Should we vote on the slate?
Sure. Yeah. Are we waiting to see what this committee is planning to do?
We are.
So
should we wait to see what the committee has to say and if they
have
yeah.
At the time,
that makes more sense. So how about we table this till the next meeting? I'll send out a little... 1 second. I'll send out a little blurb to Liz and Lynn and the Bog folks and see where they're at and if they can have another presentation of vision at the next meeting. Rodelia.
The whole purpose of this garden was to have a more natural look, like you were sort of in the forest in the woods, but not where you can't see. And I don't think slate brings that aesthetic to the garden. We want, like, these wood chips, fish, not urban look.
Duly noted. So, Tracy, you're going to present the things on the interwebs. And we will vote on them at the next meeting regarding the sinkhole. At some point in the near future, we'll have to stand back into the sinking pit of the mulberry tree and put the rest of it on top of there. Does that sound like what we've just decided? Very good. Other orders of business today. For those of you who weren't here because we started, it was a little jumbly with the time, I'll re-announce the results of the voting. We voted We had 29 votes to be in the Bangland Land Trust, 15 to be in the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust, with 6 people abstaining voting. So there you have it. What happened? Okay. Well, I think at this point we're beyond any sort of tipping points. I have talked to Joanne Morris. The next step in the process is the Trust for Public Land is in the process of conveying the gardens that are going to the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust to the Brooklyn Queens Land Trust. When that process is finished in the next couple months, they will then come back and do the other deeds to the Van Land Trust. So that's where we're at in all of that. Everybody hear me? Okay. Ryan.
Cookie, if you want to make sure that I have your address correctly after the meeting.
And Cookie, not to put you on the hot seat, but I lost my phone, so I don't have your number anymore. So. Just give it to me later.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Everybody.
All right. Next order of business. Do we need to determine pumpkin smash date at this meeting?
It's always after Halloween, first Saturday after Halloween.
Okay, what is that?
Which is? November 5th, which is a Saturday.
All right, Saturday, November 5th.
Smashing pumpkins.
Smashing pumpkins.
And rain date the 6th.
Billy Jordan. No stage. Where am I going to place my ego? Do we have any compost updates?
We get some compost delivery from the co-op that you need to and we have, it's a little bit more than normal. It's a little bit fruity at the time, so it's sort of watery, giving us a little problem, but we deal with that and we will not have the problem we had in past years. We have incorporated in sand, we put it
in. Saw that. That's rad.
Yeah. And we are able to manage that data. But we do have a problem with the storage of the compost. We have very limited space now that we can move from the area around the tree. And we haven't discussed this in committee yet, but one of the ideas that we're thinking about is that later on, if we can have a sort of contiguous area to the bins itself, and it might mean probably moving the chick box to another area so we can actually store the compost in probably the first half of that area. And because we have a lot of bins, garbage, drink, everything in the middle of the garden, and it's a little bit untidy, but if you can get something where we can just have it on the side,
right,
it might be better.
Right.
Multiple years,
the other thing we did too, it's really wet, because we used to have a finishing pile which helped any extra liquid drain out of it. But since they're in the bin and then getting sifted, there's no time for any compost to dry out. And when we were sifting it, it was like in the pile where it's aerated and it's wet and the rain comes and actually brings that off.
I just think it's so important what you guys are doing that we should support whatever you feel is best.
And if you guys in the compost team come up with a geographical vision, you can put it to the whole garden.
Did you talk to Liz yet?
Well, Liz kind of straddles the fence because she's in the composting on the back of the garden committee, so I feel pretty confident that that's under control. All right. Rosemary.
I think we should acknowledge that there's a problem with some people coming on Sunday mornings and that we should maybe alternate our dates in deference to that.
this is, I'm glad you brought that up. This is what occurred as I understand it. We had two meetings this year at dates that weren't Saturday mornings. We had the one meeting on the Wednesday, and then, according to my understanding, because I was not at the last meeting, is that at the last meeting it was decided that we would have this meeting on a Sunday. This wasn't the last meeting on a Saturday, the last meeting was on a Wednesday. And then we decided that we would have this one on a Sunday in deference to the people that couldn't come on Saturdays. I don't see a lot of different cases here. Personally, my own personal opinion is that I certainly prefer the Saturday morning meetings myself. I think that it is important to have one or two interspersed throughout the year that are at different times, so that's why this one is on a Sunday. I think after this, because we've done a Wednesday for the people that can't do the weekends, and we've done a Sunday for the people that can't do the weekends, or a Saturday, which gets a little confusing to me. But so weeknights or Saturdays. So I think at this point we have fulfilled our obligation to all of our outliers. And from now on we can just continue through the next two meetings just on the regular Saturday morning.
Okay, so. Well, if that's going to be the case, and we're going to do it on Saturday, then don't hold anyone that can't be responsible if they got to work.
Correct. And that was, Cookie, that was absolutely our intention with why we're here on Sunday today, for the people that had to work on Saturday, and why we did the one on Wednesday for the people that work both days of the week, so that we could get everybody a shot at least getting to one of the meetings throughout the course of the year. That is true. If you are a box holder, you do need to get to three meetings. As an administrator in this garden, I believe that if you are a box holder and you cannot make it to three meetings, you can bring it upon yourself to approach the governing body and say, listen, I have a long-standing conflict with the meetings. You can come to us and say, I just flat out can't make it to this meeting. And I think then, based on the rest of your performance in our little metrics of measuring how you are performing as a box holder, we can make arrangements so that we can satisfy that requirements in other ways. I think that anyone here on the governing body would say that that's probably, would say.
It's not just about being in the meeting, it's about being aware of what's going on in the meeting as well. So those who can't make it, definitely update.
Right. That is true. That is true. And that's all on the listserv, and my apologies to those folks who are not on the listserv. I did lose my phone. I was at one point fairly good at calling people, but I've lost all my numbers. I know that I do ask some folks to do that, but it is true that we do have a vast majority that occurs on the listserv and outliers, and we do need to make arrangements for all of those, because it's just, we are a community and we all need to be here. So, no, not so much, but it got very good.
We post the minutes of the meetings on the website, and we've also been posting audio recordings as well.
That's
just
true.
In case people aren't aware that we do that.
Yeah, but everybody's not online. That's the deal.
It's the way we do it.
It's true. And like anything that doesn't exist in your living room, you've got to sometimes go out there and find out the information. It's the way it is. I think we have, Tracy.
You were going to call for Aaron?
I was hoping to,
yes. I have a backup garden comment. One of the things, it's not the whole plan, but one of the things that Liz talked about in last meeting was taking the wood that's on the left side of the shed and putting it on the right-hand side of the shed. That was why the right-hand side of the shed was cleared out.
Okay.
So that the wood storage would be on the right-hand side and the center aisle of the garden could be either more presentable.
Good comment.
So if anybody wants to do that today, you can do that. That can be done as well. And then the other thing is...
Which wood?
All the boards and... The ones that are in the back. There's lots of
bearing.
Yeah.
there's posts and boards and things like that long and short. They're on the left-hand side and sort of...
And what are we saving those for?
Some of them were box things. People have been using them in the compost. Things, various...
Yeah.
Compost sifter thingy.
Right.
These are wood pile stores.
Okay.
and then the other thing is... one thing that was sort of been outstanding for a while was an action project is the fence repair.
Fence repair.
That's
true.
It's so important.
This is important. I need to talk to those... I said, I need to talk to that person, because the only way to really properly do that is from the other side. You know what I mean? So if you can get me in touch with them, I can make arrangements and we can pop over and do it. I did come over here at I came over here at one point, tools in hand, and there was a bunch of ivy growing on the other side with a log sticking, leaning over with ivy coming off it, and there really wasn't any way to address it from this side. So you can get me in touch with them, because I know you know him.
Yeah, I did speak with him.
Okay.
He was very relaxed about the situation.
Okay.
He knows it's going to get done.
Right.
He wasn't as reactive as I was about it getting done, because
that's okay.
I was the one that
Right. It is important that we do this. Right. So that, I think that is a very important thing, and that's, so we'll go over like tomorrow or something and figure it out. So that is that. Tracy, yes.
The other thing is I wanted to talk about the visitor that Ruth and Lynn, that Lynn sent an email about, and Ruth and other people saw too.
It is true. I saw the email. I didn't see her visitor. Occasionally bad things happen.
Yes, lady situation.
Ruth?
No,
okay. Apparently, from what I got from the email is that somebody came into the garden, relieved themselves, and then left. Took a bath and then left. So we are open public space, and things do happen in open public space. I'll go back to when we had the whole conversation about whether we were going to be the police when we had people living in the shed. And what we are is we're volunteer stewards of an open public space. If somebody comes in here and engages in illegal or unsanitary behavior, you know, the best we can do is ask them to leave, and if your safety is ever threatened in this garden, call the police. I mean, that is what the police are there for. We as a garden are just a community that stewards this property. We are not the police, and in no way should we confuse ourselves with them, because if something is actually dangerous, none of us here are qualified to deal with that.
Do you have a description of this person so that anyone here that's during open hours alone can keep an eye out?
I did not see this person, so I don't know.
Who ever saw him?
Right.
The one that saw
him. This is unrelated to the hole in the fence.
Correct.
They didn't come through the hole.
No, they came through the front.
Just the same way.
Used the hole in the fence.
He was just a guy that looked like he needed a home. Very benign. If you see a person that comes in off the street, you know whether they're homeless or whether they have a home. So if you see someone that comes in that looks, oh boy, where did he come from? You don't need a direct description of what he looked like. You just keep an eye on him. You know that he doesn't really belong. He's a member
of the
Right. Virginia, that is the point.
No, of course not. I'm scared. I call 911. But on the other hand, you can't stop people from coming into the garden.
So we are not trying to do that, but you can certainly get yourself over through the gate. You know, it's like,
call the police.
Right. And that's, yeah.
I don't know what he looked like, so I'll go there. I was told that he was very tall, slender, a man about maybe 25, 30.
Oh,
young,
just
you.
Just you. Young part, but yeah.
Caucasian, long hair, about shoulder length, and dark hair.
Dan Kelly. It's just see Dan Kelly on the top pooping in the garden.
If you see someone with that
beard,
that's peculiar.
Right.
And if you get closer to the game, then you can
pass
911.
Right.
We don't know
what this person is. Absolutely true. And that is the point.
And take a bath and then go and put it over by the compost pile by one of the boxes back there, the bed. Then come and wipe themselves. It's like, we really don't know what he would do next, just like the guy that was pulling the tree.
Right. And that is the point. And we are an open, caring, compassionate space, so we should temper all of our stuff with that and not build up mass paranoia against long-haired homeless people.
Another aspect might be if it's feasible to have two people at open hours.
That's
together.
What I said.
Well, and that's always what's on the schedule.
It can be two.
Yeah.
We have a hard time getting all our hours covered.
It's true. We are nominally scheduled every time to have two people at all the open hours. So, I think we've covered all of our ground here.
I wanted to say I think all the women at least would appreciate the description because that's a good one.
I think we got one.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like if he took off his pants or was pulling up his pants, I as a girl would like to know what this person looked like because it's like you just don't know.
It's true.
You never know what they're gonna do.
I think we do have a good description. And again, if you ever feel threatened in this garden by anything, much like if you ever feel threatened in a city park or any street or anything, you know, leave, call the cops. You're not going to get, like, somehow ostracized from the garden because you walked out because you were feeling threatened in a situation. I mean, we are just open public space that we take care of for the public. So, our next meeting will be on a Saturday.
The 8th is Yom Kippur. I suggest the middle of the month being the 15th is the second.
How about the 22nd?
That's the third Saturday. Yeah,
fine.
Is that the calendar?
Yes. We have one last update.
Yes.
Sorry, so the hours are being passed around. In addition, there is your as of 8:31 hours. Printed out for you. The detail is available online. If you have a discrepancy, you can check it online. If you need the detail to be printed out, I can print it out for you, but I didn't want to print out everybody. That's a waste of paper. Basic point, if you think you are missing hours from an organized activity, contact that coordinator and they will get back to me. If you think you're missing hours from open hours, contact me. I will check the calendar. Or
Brian,
sorry, and we'll go from there. But otherwise,
do some hours. There you go. All right. Thank you. All right. Our next meeting will be on October 22nd. October 22nd.
October the
22nd. Next meeting at 11 a.m. Do we like 11?
Well,
no,
today was 11:30. I don't know.
Hey, that was a little miscommunication.
No, it's an okay.
Thing. It was always 11.
11:30? No, it was always 11:30.
Yeah.
People
argue 11:00. Yeah,
11:30.
On the 22nd, thank you all very much.
Alrighty.
Enjoy your day.
Hi guys, you all?
Yeah.
And then that's actually cool. Yeah.